when it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
I was young at that time, but I was in tears because not that I lost the money, because I leveraged my parents' home to borrow that money to invest in the wrong asset class and lost it all.
This is Property Investory, where we talk to successful property investors to find out more about their stories, mindset, and strategies. I'm Tyrone Shum, and in this episode, we're speaking with Alan Chan, Director of Zenergy Finance, to find out how he landed a job at the top four banks straight after university. The moment using his parents' home as leverage for investing turned into a disaster, how it turned it all around with his first investment, and so much more. A director of Zenergy Finance, Alan Chan describes what his job consists of and how long he's been in his industry for.
We're mortgage brokers, got a good team of six mortgage brokers and a few supporting staff. Been doing that for 6.5 years, and before that I was working in one of the big four banks. It's been ever since I was a graduate from university, I've always been in home lending, interesting enough. So I've been at that for over 10 years. So maybe still young, but learned a lot of things along the way.
With the knowledge that so many people need assistance when it comes to buying their first home, much of Chan's day revolves around helping clients achieve just that.
We fulfill the dream of home ownership for clients looking for their first home, raise the financial intelligence when it comes to property investing. So whether it's buying your first investment property or accrue a portfolio of properties, structuring as well, I guess, explaining to clients what's the best mortgage structure to help them maximize their taxation. I don't do that myself, of course. You've got to speak to your accountant. And also different structures. So we can, lend money in a trust, family trust specific, self-managed super funds to buy residential, commercial. That's probably a typical day at Zenergy or most of the guys. And some of the brokers are more specialized in certain areas, but we look after lending, which I guess cash is what makes the world go round, isn't it?
Migrating to Australia back in 1991, Chan grew up in Sydney's West, initially studying something completely unrelated to the field of finance and property.
I was born in Hong Kong, came to Australia when I was in 1991. We grew up in the suburb of Parramatta, which is in Sydney's West. And funny enough, studied in a high school, which was Newtown Performing Arts School. So auditioned with the instrument of flute. And then at the same time, studied my 6 years. Funny enough, instead of going into conservatorium, which usually most of the students end up, I did a degree in mathematics and finance at University of Technology, Sydney. And then I was very blessed in getting a graduate program in one of the big four banks. And that's where my career started in 2005, I guess.
With such a drastic change in his area of study, Chan explains what compelled him to go into a different career path.
I think, one of the reasons is, my family didn't grow up very rich, and also leads to my, property investment journey. So obviously when we were young, we had, my parents would have challenges with money or usually argue about it. So one of my things when I was growing up is like, look, I need to learn how the rich do it, right? And what better way to do it than, going to the bank. And I had aspirations working very specifically in private bank, which is looking after top 1% of banks' clients. So, which I was able to do that in my career, fortunate enough. And I'm going to share some tips there as well, and that'll learn from the rich, and hopefully listeners today can get some value out of it.
Going back a little further, he adds to this by explaining what he believes were the key factors in his childhood that pushed him to pursue finance.
One of the key things being growing up, you know, Asian background, like, you know, there's that stigma with music that, hey, it's not that stable. And then, you know, as a career, right? So I was thinking, like, obviously, you know, what is something that, you know, I can provide for the family as well, right? So it's obviously leading to more the academic. You can always get a job and do your music. But, you know, if you were to do music and be the best of the best, is it going to be that financially sustainable? That's the question that I always had in my mind. But lucky enough, made that choice. And look, I'm still doing music, right, as a hobby or casually. But, you know, having the finances and the income to back it up. So, you know, overall, since the beginning age, I guess that was a wise decision, right, you know, in going into a more career path and investing, I guess.
He also explains the circumstances that led to his choice to study a degree in mathematics rather than one in commerce or more narrowly, finance.
Well, funny enough, that's the mark that the course that I could get in with the HSC mark at that time, even though I aspired to, you know, do accounting at that time. However, having said that, I think the mathematics part gave me a bit more, you know, the philosophy around solving problems, that's one. And secondly, by the end of the day in finance, you've got to know your numbers, or in business, which was, you know, if I look back to some of the successes now, it's probably knowing your numbers from a very early stage, which is important in business, right?
Attempting to gain as much experience as he could while at university, Chan shared that while he was getting educated, he was also working various jobs at the same time.
It's doing different jobs. I was unloading containers, right? So as a storeman, I was in American Express on the call center. So virtually picked up anything that I can get experience on at the same time, you know, fulfilling my studies or the bachelor degree. So I think that's what's the basis in getting to a graduate program. But also a philosophy in my investing as well, to give things a try and you know, get as much experience as I can.
It was after he graduated from the university that he was actually able to land a position at one of the top-tier banks' graduate programs and gain experience that he states taught quite a lot when it came to banking.
It was a few interviews before ending up in the graduate program. And starting in the first year, it was in the retail bank, so going into different divisions, you know, from the bank's call centers all the way to document preparation, all the way to the front end, which is the sales side. To be honest, like 1 year was pretty long, and because we're not getting into the job itself, we found it a bit boring. So, but I always aspired at that time, like I said, you know, wanting to look for jobs and get into the private banking sector after that 1 year, which I eventually got. So that was the experience in the 12 months, but learned a bit. But, you know, until you do things, it's very different to, you know, watching someone do it, if that makes sense.
But when did he actually move into a full-time career and furthermore into the area he wanted?
It was a 12-month program, and during that time, there was no promise of getting a job. So it's always going into the bank's intranet or the job search to see what's the next job that comes around. But I was very specific, and I knew in my head what I wanted. And again, like I said, in the private banking sector, which is the top 1%. So did an interview, and then got the role. So I was very fortunate. But that was the ground basis where I learned the bank systems and everything in the 3 months. Where that's why I thought the graduate program, 12 months, we learned a bit, but I think we learned the bank system when I was thrown in the deep end and actually doing things, which is the same thing in property, isn't it? Until you do it, that's where you really go, oh, I understand this, isn't it?
So true. So was it with the same bank, or did you have to change banks to go into that same particular career?
Yeah, it was the same bank. Yeah. So I've been in the same bank for that. I mean, obviously graduate program, private banking for the whole 6.5, 7 years. until I ventured into my own business, which is the mortgage brokering business now.
Talking more about what inspired him to kickstart his own mortgage broking business, Chan talks about when he knew it was time to move out a full-time career.
I guess one of the key things, I've been into other departments like, you know, the brokering side of the bank and as a team leader. And at that time, it didn't hit me until I was a mobile banker for the bank and realized, wow, the banks do make a bit of money on their mortgages, right? Which was the last year and a half of my career as a mobile lender, which gave me the confidence to step out. And at that time, I guess it's good timing. That's when the property prices, there's a demand on property, probably, 6.5 years ago, which is probably your early 2013, 14s. So that was, I guess, right timing to get out of the bank and start my own ventures.
Yeah. And because you're in mobile banking for that period, you kind of have a lot more flexibility. Is that correct to say too?
Yeah, definitely. I built it from scratch, so no clients at all, and to a lot of clients with interviews, appointments, and obviously built that relationship. And always believed that they bank with the person, which is myself, rather than the bank itself, which is one product. So I'm very glad in terms of transitioning to mortgage brokering as well, because it offers the clients a lot more choice and not tied to one particular product.
Coming up after the break, we'll delve into Alan Chan's journey and where and how he bought his first investment.
That's where I invested in St Kilda, which was a unit.
The interesting asset class he decided to go into at first.
An interesting story was I didn't invest in property. So I used that equity to actually buy options, which was a risky product.
The important lesson he learned from his worst investing moment.
Once you lose money, then you learn not to go into that asset class because there's no get-rich scheme and you got to build it.
And that's next. I'm Tarun Shum and you're listening to Property Investory. Delving into his property investing journey, Chan shares that it was by building on what he learned during this time in the bank that he was able to gain the courage to make that first purchase.
Grew up not being rich and, finally got into private banks. So excited to see, how the rich people do it, right? Are they buying properties? And one key thing that I learned is that it's not how much money you make, it's how you manage your money. And that was a key lesson that I took from private banking, because I had a section of private bank, which was solicitors, but on their assets and liabilities, they may not show much. They're willing to get into a private bank because of, family relations and so forth. But, every week I noticed that I had to extend their, overdraft facility or the line of credits at that time. So then I realized, how come these guys are not doing so well compared to the other section of the private bank, the solicitors that bought property or actually, structured it correctly. Then I see, how do they actually buy one, every year? So again, it's not how much you make, it's how you manage your money. So that was a key thing. And that's in 2007 where I, got courage to actually start my investment journey. So, and funny enough, I did convince my parents to access their equity. So I didn't build up a bit of savings because the home that we were living in had a bit of equity that with my banking knowledge, I could leverage. And that's where I first started accessing OPM or other people's money, or another term I put in there, OPE, other people's equity.
Talking about some of the clients he had, Chan explains how they're able to manage their money and purchase multiple properties every year.
Well, I think one of the lessons that I got from them is that these people are savvy with their money, which ties into, my mathematics degree, knowing the numbers, right? So in today's terms, probably budgeting, right? These people had excess, cash on a monthly basis, whether they're saved. Well, firstly, you've got to get into your first property. And subsequently, if you're paying it down, you build a thing called equity, which I'm sure you in your podcast would have explained to the viewers or listeners. But then at the same time, as the equity builds up, then they can, with their salary or borrowing power, they can go again and leverage to get into another one. So, which fascinated me. So I kind of like studied them. And then in fact, one of the private clients, which I still talk to, is like one of my mentors.
Having learned so much from others, Chan shares how many properties he currently has in his portfolio.
I have 10 properties currently.
And why he considers his initial decision to invest in options to be his worst investing moment.
Well, let's start off with the beginning, because I mentioned I leveraged my parents' property. But an interesting story was I didn't invest in property. So I used that equity to actually buy options, which was a risky product, you know, six figures worth as well. And I was trading what they call these naked options in the US market, funny enough. So, and I remember the date that, you know, I was investing in a company that started the GFC, writing naked puts. And it's a really amazing story, which I still know the date on the 16th of February, because that's when the options market in the US closed. The share price needed to, you know, close at a certain certain price. And unfortunately, it closed, you know, a bit below. And what that meant is that, you know, because I was highly leveraged, you know, six figures of US money at that time was disappeared in one overnight. And I know I lost that money. I was young at that time, but I was in tears, because not that I lost the money, because I leveraged my parents' home to borrow that money to invest in the wrong asset class and lost it all.
Oh, man.
So, wow. So what do I say to my parents?
Explaining what it is and why the high risk attracted him to invest into it, Chan elaborates on what an option actually is.
I didn't understand that much. That's probably that's number one. But secondly, I think the ironic thing is that we all attracted into high returns without knowing the risk. I think that's what you alluded me. It's like, oh, you know, I'm accessing my parents' money. I got to do it as quickly as I can. Then there was a vehicle that was returning high returns. Like, it was like anywhere double digits per month. So it's 10% by, you know, writing these options or lending it out, right? So it's a derivatives, and what that means is just say not buying the share or the property itself. It's just basically betting, right, that the price will go. So that's probably a brief overview of you know, options market, because I don't have enough. I studied it in uni, but it takes a long time to explain, I guess.
Going back to his initial regret after losing the money he'd borrowed from his parents to invest in options, Chan explains why he was thankful he made a decision to invest in a high-risk asset class early on in his journey.
Once you lose money, then you learn not to go into that asset class, because there's no get-rich scheme and you got to build it, you know, and that's why I had to learn the hard lesson right early in the piece, which I'm very grateful for.
Having experienced such a great loss, and furthermore, one that wasn't his, Chan explains how he was able to get himself out of that messy situation.
I was still working, so I had to pay that off. I mean, 100K or in US dollars is a lot of money back then.
Still is a lot of money now.
Yeah, still is. And I guess that's where the turning point, where I go, hey, I've learned so much in private banking. I've got all these mentors. Why don't I still use, there's still excess equity in starting my first investment property.
Despite the negative outcome that occurred from this early decision, Chan highlights that was actually this rookie decision that led to his first investment purchase.
I bought a property in St. Kilda, which is in a unit. And even working in the banks, and funny enough, you do a lot of transaction for clients. Sometimes, I don't know if you had that moment that, you know, if you're doing it for yourself, you get so nervous because it's your first transaction. But it's your career. You've been doing that with clients all the time. So that's when I was signing the contract and say, is this right? You know, all the emotions going in your head, you know, am I going to do well, you know, at that time? These all played out in my thoughts. And interesting enough, of course, took the courage to go ahead. And here's where I am today.
He also shares how long it took him to recoup the money that he lost and how he was able to get into the property at the same time.
So lucky enough, my parents have actually paid off their mortgage. So at that time, working in the bank, I accessed a tool called a line of credit. So it's like a big credit card, but on a home, right? So At that time, I couldn't remember the exact figures, but it'd probably be around 300,000. So in saying that, I've used 100 or lost that, right, a bit more, but I still had a little bit left in terms of buffer to continue to invest. So in answering your question, it was still leveraging through my parents' equity to invest in this first investment property, even though I lost money.
And how this buffer meant Chan was able to invest in the St Kilda property he mentioned earlier.
That's where I invested in St Kilda, which was, a unit, like I mentioned. In the beginning, it was understanding buying your first ones about, testing the borders. Is this right? So understanding, new things introduced to me, of course, doing your accounting, right? What is negative gearing? What is this appreciation? So really understanding those concepts or the jargon. And in fact, it was, negatively geared in the beginning. But in the end, when I actually sold it before I got married, I made some good, capital gains. So which is one of the things that, allowed me to reallocate my capital into other investment properties.
Having made enough profit to purchase his second investment, he talks a little bit about the skills he has learnt along the way.
I had to sell that, Victorian property in St Kilda, then allowed me to have deposit and capital to venture into other investments properties. And that's an important skill that I had to learn as well, because I think sometimes in property investing, we think that we got to hold it. And, there are some people that on one side is like, hold it till the end, right? Never sell, right? But then, at the same time, if you don't, there's only another way to access the equity, which is through borrowing. And if your capacity is tight, then, the third option is probably to sell it and incur the taxes. But because there's so much gain, then I can still use that capital for other use.
Looking on the flip side of things, Chan talks about the moment in his journey that cemented how much property could do for him.
I have to think one of the aha moments, I think, is really knowing my numbers with a bookkeeper of mine, right? So, there's things when in my consulting with clients is, do you know whether your investment property is, for example, negatively geared, neutrally geared, or positively geared? And when that aha moment was understanding the optics, I was like, wow, maybe I need to do that with my own investment properties. Because we could go, oh, I'm positively geared or negatively geared, but they say it, but they don't have the numbers to prove it, if that makes sense, right? Or I just give it to my accountant and he does it and, yeah, I'm making some money. So are we dwelling enough in terms of the numbers and the optics to make an informed decision with our investment property portfolio? So, for example, let's say it's negatively geared, which my St Kilda property was, then do I continue to lose money or do I sell it? So with those optics, then I can make a more informed decision in my investment process.
So inspired by Alan Chan's amazing story so far, we'll keep the conversation going in a future episode of Property Investory, where we'll discuss his strategy.
We can ask the bank to borrow more money to capitalize another investment property. So that's where you always started with one. And then you either use other people's money or you save up more deposit to go to the next one, and subsequently you grow from there.
The personal habits which have been contributing to his success.
I am a bit more religious in terms of my calendar, what's happening in it.
And that's next time in a future episode of Property Investory. To jumpstart your week, here's Mindset Monday, where our real success in property isn't knowledge and skill. It's 70% psychology and mindset. Here's this week's mindset tip from wealth coach Jill McIntyre. You're a strong advocate for building and maintaining a strong team around you in property, Jill. Do you feel that many of your clients, when starting off with you, don't do this?
Absolutely not. And when I first started working many years ago now, about 11 years ago with Matt Jones, that I think many of you will know from Brisbane Property Networking Group and Property Resource Shop. And Matt is one of those people, and I'm sure he won't mind me using this example, of a person that's a good all-rounder. And Matt can do everything on a renovation, bar the electrical work he will leave to the Sparky, but I think he'd probably have a dabble there too. And then he goes home and he'd work on the website and work on starting up his networking group and all of the things that he was doing and spreading himself too thinly. We're only good at 5% of what we do. The other 95%, we need to leave it to other people that are better suited at doing whatever tasks we're doing than what we are. Stop and think, Matt could do all of those jobs, for example, but some of them would take him far longer. And I know for myself, I love back of the envelope CSOs, but sitting down and doing a full feasibility absolutely bores me to snores. So my property joint venture partner, he is excellent at the back end stuff like that. Yes, I can read them. I can understand what goes into them. But my time is better spent at the things that I'm really in my 5% zone with. So stop and think what you're good at, because we need to be monetizing and maximizing that 5% so that you can then, that's your specialty area. If it's negotiating, if it's finding deals, work on that one. Get someone else on your team that can do things that you don't like. It could be something that you usually put to the bottom of the pile at the end of the week because you don't want to do it on Monday and you do it on Friday. And if that's hampering you and slowing you down, do something with your 5% and get someone to help you with the 95%. So until next time, enjoy that one too.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.